Hey, what's up, guys? This is Pawtacular Episode 113, Halo 3 Beta Impressions.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Pawtacular. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
Hey, what's up? It's Witch King 9.
Yeah, what's happening? Welcome aboard.
And, thanks, guys. Thanks for
joining us. Such short notice. Seems to be the usual themes for all our guests.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks, dude.
Hey, man. It's kind of an exciting week.
Oh, yeah, man. And that's why we're here, because we just got off of playing some something very exciting and something that everybody's been waiting for. Why don't you tell them what it is, Fumo?
Halo 3. The beta. We've all been playing on the friends and family, and really been enjoying it. We all had really long sessions, got plenty of experience in the field, looking forward to talking about it, and that's what this episode is all about. But before we get started on that, Witch King, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do in the gaming community?
I'm just a forum member at IGN. I've been there since, I think, 01, and I'm Xbox MVP. Going to events and reporting back on what I see. It's pretty much what I do.
Yeah. And you were witness to the now legendary bacon waffle, weren't you?
That's right. Not only the bacon waffle, but the Pitmobile.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. There was me, you, Vicious, Avid X, and the Pitmobile.
Yeah, nothing like the red van rolling around Seattle.
The Red Caravan of Doom.
Nice. And Jack Bauer. Don't forget about Jack Bauer.
Oh, yeah, and Jack Bauer.
Don't you laugh at him!
Oh, man, but nice. That's for a whole different show.
Well, cool.
So, we got a bunch of interesting topics to cover. It's going to be a unusually short episode, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm itching to get back on.
Yeah, really. Everybody's like, oh, I gotta go. Gotta get my fix.
I'm losing rank.
Yeah, right.
Rank, dude. Come on.
Yeah, this show, we're not actually reading off listener comments, stuff people send in, because of the nature of, well, you know, we got in early in the friends and family program, and we're just kind of telling you guys, you know, about what we found out about the game, what might interest you, and you know, all kinds of cool stuff we found out. Dude, this is some definitely very exciting stuff. It's a great game. Witch King, why don't you start us off, man, with some of the things you noticed in the game, and we can kind of, you know, talk about damn things.
Well, I've noticed the first thing first, man. I don't know about your listeners, but at least on IGN, everyone's worried about the graphics in the game.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that first.
Yeah, everyone's you know, worried about the graphics. Is it Gears of War? Is it, you know, does it look like an upgraded Xbox game? You know, what does it look like? I personally was very impressed.
Yes, I was.
The lighting is great on everything. I don't know if you guys looked, but on Valhalla, did you guys ever just look up and just look around at the trees and, like, the snow-covered mountains? It's pretty, man.
Yes.
I don't know what you guys thought. And, like, the particle effects, when you, you know, blow up the water, there's actually, you know, splashes and stuff. It looks great. It looks in HD. I don't know what you guys are playing on.
Yeah, I'm playing on a plasma. And, I mean, the colors are vibrant. You know, the attention to detail is there. I mean, they said the terrain was going to pretty much remain the same, and that all the lighting effects and, you know, there's still a few tricks up their sleeves that we're not going to see. So the majority of the visuals are there, but I got to tell you, man, when I first got into a room and I went into man cannon, I didn't want to do anything but just look around. I mean, it's very pretty.
It looks gorgeous on my very high quality Dino Walmart 13-inch television as well.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's a noticeable improvement, though, over Halo 2, definitely. And I mean, you know, in a lot of different ways, in really a lot. So much to that is different as far as, like, the attention to detail on the whole thing with the maps. I mean, there's from everything from, you know, grass blowing in the wind to little weeds here and there and wildflowers and, you know, stuff off in the distance to things like on high ground where you have like all kinds of little, just little trinkets all over the place. You have like little gas cans. You have those little like containers that have food. It said like salty peach dessert on it.
Yeah, we were playing, and you're like, dude, this thing said salty peach dessert.
Yeah, I'm watching a replay of one of our games on Valhalla, and if you notice inside the base is the architecture for what I think should be a covenant-based, like, you know, covenant-based base is totally different than what it was this time around than what it was last time. Like, the detail is just so much more, it looks much more modern, I think.
Exactly.
Than Halo 2 did on the Xbox. And, you know, it's just glad, you know, it's nice to see that kind of thing on 360.
Yeah.
If this were to come out today, it would, you know, this would sell, this is easily better than some of the, you know, multiplayer games on Xbox Live.
Oh, definitely.
That are full price games.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed. Oh, go ahead.
One thing I noticed was there's more lighting on your armor, your Mjolnir armor. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Like by the knees, there's lights. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I did notice that actually.
And the shoulders.
I think that might have to do with. Does that maybe have to do with the secondary color that you choose?
That's what I was wondering, because we couldn't do any customization and everything's randomly chosen for you. But I thought, because I died, and of course you can see your character laying there, and it was in the dark.
Right.
So it illuminated. So I was like, wow, this extra lighting and stuff. So I don't know if it's actually, you know, part of the color scheme that they gave you, or, you know. Yeah.
No, you can set your color scheme, JVB.
Can you?
For your Master Chief, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Where do I go to do it? Because I was looking all over the place.
If you press Start, you can pull up your. There's two tabs: your settings and profile, I think. And in settings, you can go and change your. You know, there's like five. I think like five or six different colors that you can choose between your emblem and your armor.
It's actually a whole palette. It's not like a full.
No, I mean
palette,
like actual colors that you use, but the actual the number of colors you can choose from is like a whole bunch. It's like 32.
Sweet. Yeah. So getting back to the graphics, how do you like the way the weapons look?
Fantastic, man. Witch King was saying is there's lots of. I think that one of the most significant differences in the graphics is with the lighting. They've really improved on the lighting effects in general on everything, whether it be on your armor, especially on the weapons, I thought.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, on static objects too, but then again, that just kind of stays there, so it's not that much different really. But the weapons, it really, like if you're in a bright area, there's much more of a reflection and then deep shadows based on, based on the lighting above you to where it really feels like, it really looks like it's a real gun in your hand.
Yeah, it does. Especially the SMGs, because the SMG, now you can see more of it. And in the back, you can see, like, rubber handles. I mean, I don't know if you guys got the same.
Yeah.
If it to you looks like, you know, rubber handle. But, I mean, you could see it, like the ridges on it. I mean, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah, and every one of those ridges, definitely. You know, is being the lights reflecting off of it and then casting the shadow on the back end to give it that 3D effect, which is cool. Yeah,
and everything's shiny, but not overly shiny, like perfect dark.
Yeah, and that was one thing I really noticed. Did you notice the snow? Like, unlike perfect dark, it didn't seem unnaturally like reflected upon. It's graphically, it's great. It's one of the better looking games on 360 right now.
And if it looks good on a beta multiplayer wise too.
Yeah.
Imagine a single player.
Oh man, I can't wait. Of course, one thing we've said on the forums is that while we may have like talked about a bunch of stuff on multiplayer before it came out, we're not gonna mention a word about single player even if we do find out about anything. So you can rest assured we're not going to give any secrets away about the story on Halo 3 until the game comes out, and we're not going to give any away then either.
Not that we know anything.
Yeah, we don't know anything anyway. But even if we were to figure anything out, we're
but
not.
If I did, I wouldn't tell you. Now, besides the graphics, another thing that I noticed that was pretty cool. was the physics. Like little subtle things like jumping in the air and crouching at the same time. Mm-hmm. It looked more natural now. Like it wasn't like a, you know, just the legs folding up, you know, the knees popping. It was like actual full motion, like, you know, I hate to say it, but almost like a ninja, you know? You know, I mean, you know, the way the mongoose handled, especially when you're in the water, too. Like, you slow down when you're actually in the water.
Yeah.
And at one point, I was killed in the water. My character goes under the water, and you see me underwater floating, but the sound changes.
Yeah.
It's muffled, and to you know, to simulate that you're actually underwater, and I'm cracking up.
It sounds like you're in a pool.
Yeah, it's like whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yep. It's like,
but, you know, that's just to show you that even, you know, though you're dead and you're just waiting to respawn, that they'll even go that far just to put those little details in there.
Yeah, it's like if anybody's ever played Far Cry, it's a similar kind of deal on that. With the sound underwater, except, you know, you can't swim in Halo, so it's kind of a neat little thing that they didn't have to put in there, you know?
Yeah, and you know, they did say that the water physics weren't going to be in there, you know, natural waves and everything, but it does look nice, and it does have a, it does kind of penalize you if you go in the water, because you slow down, your vehicles slow down everything.
Right.
So I found myself trying to dodge the water at one point. So, I mean, it's
the water on high ground looks great, though. Did you guys see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's definitely
almost Oblivion-esque.
Awesome.
Yeah. And to say that on a multiplayer demo, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Exactly. Well, hey, we got some other stuff here. We had those missile pods show up. That was a big shocker. I didn't know anything about those.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So there's like a whole class of. Go ahead.
No, I saw somebody pick it up, and they're like, "Dude, I'm shooting missiles." I'm like, "Whoa!" Then I pick it up, and you know, I go into third person view, and it was locking onto a vehicle, and it.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
It was
like. Yeah, it locked on to a mongoose, and it followed it. You know, the little red diamond shaped target. It kept beeping. It was like doo 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 doo. But I'm like, so you know, when you're shooting at somebody, it's tough though.
Yeah,
it doesn't lock on. Hmm. It locks onto vehicles though.
So let's explain that. There's we've already seen videos and stuff where people picked up portable turrets. Mm-hmm. It's like, for instance, the turret on high ground that Bungie has talked about, right on the there's like the gate into the base area. The one right above that is actually once you grab it, instead of like grabbing onto a turret like in Halo 2, where you know you're on a stationary turret, it actually picks it up and it becomes a portable turret. Where you go into third-person view and you kind of have this new type of weapon, which is this portable turret, that apparently there's at least three of them that we know of. There's the there's the Warthog-style one, which is like the Gatling gun. There's the... and there's four, probably, because there's the Gauss that somebody noticed in one of the videos in the past, which they don't have in the beta that I know of.
Yeah, they don't.
There is the... and there's the missile pod we were just talking about, which... And what happens on the missile pod is that you have, what, 8 shots altogether, right?
Yeah.
And you do walk slower, you can't board vehicles, and...
You can't switch weapons.
Right. So all you can do is drop it or shoot it, and you walk slower than the person.
Yeah, and it slows you down, which leaves you vulnerable, because it is a powerful machine. Even if you go with the machine gun, you're going to lose that battle if you go head-to-head, but it you know, you can outmaneuver it. That's the good thing about it.
Right.
And like I said, with the rockets, it doesn't lock on to someone. It just locks onto vehicles.
You meant the missiles, right? The missile pod? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, yeah, missile pod.
Yeah. How about speaking of stuff that locks on vehicles, I don't know about you guys, but I'm very happy with the balancing of all the Spartan laser.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Because it runs out pretty quick. I mean, I first time I picked it up, I was doing damage with it. It kind of reminded me of a sniper rifle almost. There were moments where I died because I'm charging it, I'm trying to back up, and the guy's shooting at me, and you're vulnerable at that point.
Yeah.
So it is balanced. Mm-hmm. It is balanced, and you know, it does a lot of damage, but it runs out, and once it runs out, you know, it takes a while for it to respawn. And it's not in a place where, I mean, so far on the maps, it wasn't in spots where it favored anyone. You know, it was right there in the middle, or if you were on a defense, if you were in, like, in a more defensive position, you know, you can get it. I mean, it was well placed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
For both teams to possibly get it.
Yeah. I was gonna mention something too, is that I thought like Snowbound and High Ground were both a lot bigger than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
You know, like with High Ground. There's not only is that there that gate with the turret over it, but that whole area
and
goes
a back gate.
Yeah, it goes up a little. Yeah, there's the back gate. There's the one on the left side, and then the tube on the right side that we know about from the 1UP video in the past. But there's that whole area slopes up, and then there's a whole. There really feels like the High Ground area, right there. Where
and there's a way you can go in from in the caves also.
Yeah.
Into the base.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was me and Godfrey were playing, and he went to the back through another gate. Mm-hmm. Where the huge missile launchers was standing up. And I didn't think we'd go in there. So he goes and pushed the gates open. I'm like, wow, cool. So
yeah, there's like these metal gates,
fences, yeah.
Yeah, fences, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
And, yeah, you know, you can go through there. And I mean, when we were playing Capture the Flag, it was a little overwhelming because it's natural to believe that, hey, all right, there's only two ways to get in, but actually there was quite a few ways. Mm. So, I mean, there's definitely, you know, a lot of the strategy in there because we were like Dalpex and a few of the other guys were on opposite teams and they were well coordinated and they were coming from both sides. Mm. So, I mean, yeah, it's...
There's a lot of ways in.
There's a lot of ways in. At first, when you first saw those videos from 1UP and stuff like that, it didn't look like, all right, you know, you kind of bottlenecked in certain spots, but that's not the case.
You can also throw down that portable grav lift on the left side at that very High Ground thing I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can just jump right up to the top of the base. And
it was funny. Painkiller told, I think it was Crimson Viper or somebody. He said, dude, you're the worst at throwing portable grav lifts because he placed it too close to the wall. So every time I tried to go on up, I kept hitting the ledge. I'm like, poink.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was only a certain amount of time you could use it also.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that
I like it because it blows up. Why?
I thought it was annoying it expired because, you know, that was... I mean, I guess from a balance standpoint, you don't want 8 million ways into the base, but since there already are 8 million ways, what's 8 million and 1, you know? But
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just, you know, it's... I mean, they need to keep it balanced because then everybody will just keep jumping there, you know?
Yeah,
the strategy was, well, when we were playing Team Slayer against you guys... you know, Chemo would grab the sniper rifle, head to the top of the base, and, you know, have at it.
Yeah.
It was like whoever controlled the High Ground was going to win.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily going to win, but, yeah, they had a huge advantage.
Yeah, definitely, because you can't throw grenades.
There was ways around it. You know, there was you know, the invisibility on the side towards the left when you start at the bottom of the hill. Mm-hmm. And on the side of the mountain is the invisibility. So you could sneak your way around there.
Speaking of invisibility, now that we figured out the secret of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the famous blue orb that they were showing on the videos in
Zanzibar.
The new Zanzibar remake. And yeah, it kind of looks like you're actually going to teleport or something. But it's the invisibility, and it's the only power up that's actually in the game.
I thought it was a power drainer at first, like that was already engaged or something. Speaking of which, we were right on the power drainer, right?
Yeah. It's it happened to me. I threw it down, and because somebody was chasing me, I threw it down, and it caught him. But I moved into its range, and it lowered my shields.
Mm.
And then after a few seconds, it blows up. So it destroys anything that's close to it.
Hmm.
One thing I did want to, I think it was you, Witch King. You were chasing me with the ghost, and I threw it down. And I'm trying to remember if it was you. I think it was you. And I don't know if you parked the ghost or you actually went through the power drain and the ghost stopped.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I don't know if it was just coincidence or what, but I threw it down because the ghost was coming, and it looked
Was that on Snowbound?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me. I magically ran into that. Then the next thing I know, I'm flying out of the ghost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, cool. So it does ghosts. Cool.
Well, if you read one of the tips, it says throw down one of the gravity pickups in front of a vehicle that's chasing you and see what happens to it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because I died, right? I was getting ready to throw the grav lift, and then I died, and all my weapons kept bouncing off the grav lift while I'm dead. You hear vroom, vroom, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And you see my battle rifle just fly in the air. And what's also cool, in the man cannon, I had switched weapons from my assault rifle to battle rifle, and it threw it down right into the... I didn't mean to do it. It landed on the man cannon, and the assault rifle just flew, I mean, real far in the air. I'm like, whoa, cool.
That's cool how, like, everything has physics, you know, every single object, including weapons and the whole deal.
Yeah, I've already went through the man cannon with the water hog, the mongoose. Sweet. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty
cool. Now, we were to mention those tips. They, you know, like in Halo 2, they have the tips in the while you're waiting for for matchmaking or something at the bottom left corner. Well, same thing in Halo 3, but these ones are actually, I think, a little more useful. There's some pretty some stuff there you might not otherwise know. Like, for instance, I was noticing one that said that on the menus, it basically has the same like vertical scroll through menus in a way, except they're faster and they have kind of a cooler graphical effect with the full screen thing. But when you're scrolling through the menus, you can actually hit the left trigger to go to the top and the right trigger to go to the bottom, which is really nice, because if you want to get to 1-2 from the bottom, you just hit right trigger up instead of going down 8, you know?
I know. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And also, I noticed one that it said the plasma pistol, or the plasma rifle, can inflict a lot of damage to vehicles if you melee it.
Oh, really?
So... yeah, I remember you and I were doing a chat, and it popped up, and I read it right before it scrolled to another one.
Cool.
And there was also one with, I believe it was the battle rifle, you get a small red dot.
Yeah, that's like in Halo 2.
Yeah.
When you have a headshot.
Because I remember Painkiller was, he was like, does it actually work this time?
Yeah. So. Yeah, really. It was so... small, it was unnoticeable before on Halo 2 for me. Yeah. But man, we got.
That's what she said.
Yeah, baby. It's Michael Scott.
Ah. But yeah, I'm.
Question.
Sure.
I'm just twice shooting.
Yeah. You shooted it.
What do you guys think about the modes?
The modes.
Gameplay modes.
The game modes offer.
Dude, there's a sweet new game mode. There's VIP.
VIP. Mm-hmm.
That's like a
You wanna call it president, you can.
Kind of, but it's more like Team Juggernaut, where you get a point for killing their Juggernaut. and then you have to protect your Juggernaut at the same time, and your Juggernauts have overshields. So, yeah.
The only thing, when you're the VIP, you don't have super speed, you know.
Yeah. I thought your speed was pretty normal, though.
Yeah, you VIP. Don't. Yeah, yeah. It's you're regular. The only thing you have overshield.
Yeah.
And but you have the ability to pick up weapons.
In the final game, remember, there's going to be all this customization where you can customize the VIP to do whatever you want, pretty much. And have it be slower, faster, whatever.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's not truly, you know, a Juggernaut type game, but, you know, the VIP does have overshield. You can dual wield, and you can, you know, pick up just about any weapon you want. So you're not truly vulnerable. You're actually, you know.
Actually, you know, a strategy that I used was when I was the VIP is I would actually chase the other VIP because everyone else would be too busy trying to shoot each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just leaving me and the other VIP alone, and you know, everyone was fairly new, so it was it was pretty easy to one-on-one people so far.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, yeah, this definitely a lot of different ways to go around it. You know, like Painkiller was the VIP, and he was just going around killing people as well. So, I mean, you know, it all depends how you want to play it. Some people were staying in the base and having people guard the base, and Snowbound, you know, where you got to go through the shields, and you can't. You know, you can't shoot from outside, and vice versa. You can't shoot from inside. You could just wait behind, you know, the shields.
Did you also notice when you threw a grenade up against the shield, rather than go through the shield, it would bounce back at you?
Yep. Yeah.
Sucks. Yeah. Because people can now just dig in. It's a lot harder now, so it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, because we're all just standing there waiting, like, all right, who's going to make the first move? Who's going to make the first move?
Yep.
And it's just waiting there. Come
You're
on.
Trying to, like, just barely walk through it, throw a grenade, and walk back out.
Throw a grenade,
And then they throw one time to where you're, as soon as you walk through, you're going to hit it. So then you're, like, backing out, and you're doing this, playing this game back and forth.
Or if they have a shotgun, you know, just standing there waiting for you.
Exactly. So you got to go grab some stickies.
Yeah, that's a nice map, man. And speaking of shields, you know, the bubble shield, that happened with me where I accidentally, because I'm still used to hitting X to do everything.
Yeah, ditto, yeah.
And that's one thing we've got to talk about, you know, it's the use of the right bumper button. Yeah. But X, you know, deploys any power, you know, any additional weapons you get, you know.
The deployables, yeah.
You know, deployable weapons, you know. Landmines, bubble shield, and power drain. So I actually, you know, I hit X to reload, and instead it throws it down. So I'm in this bubble. I'm like, whoa, cool. But I had threw a grenade. It bounced right back at me and killed me while I was in the bubble.
Nice one.
I was like, retard, die.
Yeah, Snowbound's sweet though, man. It's definitely bigger than I thought. Like with the Beyond, I mean, the way you see it on Bungie.net and with some of the videos and such, it seems like there's just these two bases with a tunnel between. And really, there's a lot more than that. There's the two bases have tunnels underneath, and then I think they connect in a way. But then there's also a lot of terrain on the upper level, to where there's a few smaller tunnels within there. There's places to kind of hide in. There's these exposed huge cables in there that are obviously part of the structure. And then once you go outside the map, they do have the automatically firing turrets that
which
that
was take sweet. You out.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. I haven't found out for myself, but somebody was like, dude, the turrets killed me, man.
Yeah, try it out.
Because when I was the VIP, my first inclination was, well, I'm going to go to the part of the map that no one seems to be going to. Every time I went there, those things started turning on me. At first, I thought it was my teammates just shooting away at me because they thought, you know, they saw
you're
my
like,
overshield.
Dude, you're such a noob. Stop shooting me.
Yeah, and then it turns out, if you venture off the map, you're done.
It looks like a Spectre fire, like on the turret from the Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just bigger and stuff. So
let's talk about the plasma pistol, not tracking as much.
Yeah. The noob combo, it's definitely less powerful, which is kind of nice.
thank God. Yeah, because I remember I picked it up, and I'm like, oh, well, let me try the new combo. And it didn't lock on as quick as I thought it would. And I let it go, and it just kept going. I'm like, what? So, yeah, it's a good thing that, you know, you can't use that to, you know, win the match. You know, it's yeah. You still got to earn that.
What were we going to say, Witch King?
Yeah, I was going to say as far as, yeah, I actually tried to do combo in a game on High Ground, and I lost against one guy with just a battle rifle, and, you know, and it doesn't, even if the red's on them, like in Halo 2, once it was locked on, it would track them. Now it doesn't track as badly, if at all. I don't know if it does at all now, but,
you know, I had
still a lot.
I was just going to say, I had some pretty good success with it. With the new combo. At first, I thought it didn't track at all. But the thing is that it definitely tracks less and the shot goes faster. So you just, once you kind of compensate for that, you can be mildly effective with it, but not nearly as much, of course, as in Halo 2, where it just followed you all over the place, man. It's like,
it was ridiculous.
Guilty Spark or something, just flying all around you. But
went around corners.
Exactly, man. 90-degree turns, whatever. Yeah, but this is
right behind you.
A whole lot different, but it's still effective, but it's just it definitely limited in its effect. But the BR, man, the thing's deadly in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a beast in this game.
And I like the new look.
Oh, yeah. The scope is so cool. It's so much cooler.
Yeah, no, it's definitely vastly improved. It's you know, it seems to have more kickback. I mean, I don't know if that was just me, or maybe my controls are a little too sensitive. I noticed that the sniper rifle, there is kickback on the sniper rifle.
Huh.
So, you know, just an example of how they change things around the weapons. And speaking of which, the Needler...
Speaking of improved weapons, the Needler and the Carbine.
Oh, yeah, finally. You know, two weapons that have use.
Yeah, Carbine was great, man. I mean, that used to be a really, like, a nerfed BR, and now it's, like, it's powerful because you can kill people as fast, if not faster, than the BR.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how fast it fires and how deadly the shots are.
And you notice there's, like, a twirl on the beam when you shoot it?
Yeah. And then did you also notice, like, when you zoom in, like, these little icons kind of popped up. It's kind of hard to explain, but you guys will see it when you zoom in. It's just a little graphical flourish that's kind of neat, adds to the whole deal.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. And the Needler is also, you know, once again, a very dangerous weapon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I killed somebody pretty quick with it. Thing is, you know, it's going to run out on you a lot quicker also, and you can't dual wield it.
Right, but Needler is freaking awesome in this because the bullets fire almost twice as fast, I think, as they did in Halo 2.
Yeah, they do, and which means you got to reload a lot quicker.
Right, but it's like the rate of fire is faster, but like the speed of the bullets, the speed of the projectiles, is almost twice as fast right there. But the thing is, reloading, too, is significantly faster, both on the Needler and on the Carbine, I noticed. Because I remember on the Carbine, the way he would, like, pop out the tube, and then he would put another one in, and the way he put it in, it was, like, super lazy. He was just kind of like, I'll put this tube in here, and then slide it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, in Halo 2. But in Halo 3, it's just like, all right, let's pop that out, pop another one, and get going. And,
yeah.
It's definitely a noticeable improvement on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and, you know, the Needler is back.
Needler gun.
Some of the game modes, we already talked about VIP. Whoops.
Yeah, MVP, that'd be real good.
The other bomb, the other one was bomb mode, one bomb, and it's new assault. But the difference was now that when you arm the bomb, there's a timer that's going off, which is visible. But the other team can disarm your bomb now. So no more, once you arm the bomb, you know, there's no more instant win, you know. Like in Halo 2, you it took you a little longer to actually arm the bomb. Right. And, you know, that was pretty much game over right there. Now, you have about, what, 10 seconds to,
15.
To kill the... 15?
15, 16 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, you can kill, like, there was a few times, you know, we went in there, armed the bomb, they kill us, and then, you know, you see them standing over it, and that means they're disarming it, and then it returns straight back to your base.
Right. Yeah, I noticed, though, that arming it was just, you know, rather in Halo 2 where it was a 5 or 10 second process, it seems like you just have to walk over the area where the bomb plant is, and then it'll just plant automatically, and then you have to kind of defend. It wasn't...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Halo 2, it was more... That 10 or 15 seconds was on the front side of things rather than on the back side of things.
Exactly. Right.
Makes a lot more sense this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now you're actually taking the same amount of time to arm the bomb, but like you said, which, you know, you could lay it down, it'll arm, you got to defend, so this way the other team doesn't come and disarm it. So it gives, you know, a nice little strategy, and it gives the other team a chance to actually catch up and defend their base once again.
Right, like yours.
The disarming is really quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you guys were able to disarm a bomb, but it's in like two or three seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that, you know, they might have some kind of, you know, adjustable feature there on the amount of time it's going to take to disarm the bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, you're saying, that with the strategies on arming and then dealing with it, like you're saying that Dialpax went in there and planted the bomb and then popped up a bubble shield, you know, to make it more difficult to get in there and disarm it. So that's
when he did that. I was like, you swine, because at the time you're just concentrating on the bomb, and you're focusing on him. He's in the bubble, and his teammates were around him shooting at me. So, you know, it was a well placed. No, you know, it was more of a well-thought-out strategy. Yeah. And another thing that I found people starting to do was you get a landmine, and you place it where they have to arm the bomb. And a few times I went to go arm the bomb, and boom, I blow up. Yeah. I was like, I'm here, dude. Boom. Ah, man.
You can shoot the landmines and just blow them right up. You
got
to try to hide them somehow.
The best was when Fumo Jai first got into a game, and I think I had the laser cannon, the Spartan cannon, and I hear, deep, 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 and I look down, and it's him and somebody else standing next to his own landmine, and all of a sudden, boom, they blow up.
I was looking at it, I was like, what is this thing? What the heck?
Wow, it's so pretty.
The light.
Yeah, because it's a nice bright orange looking like matrixy panel.
Yeah, yeah, and then it's, you know, you hear a timer, you know, go off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes off when you actually go over it.
Yeah.
But you do hear the beep. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess that's just the beep that, you know, indicating that maybe that's just for audible purposes, you know, to give the other team a chance to know that, hey, there is a landmine somewhere.
Yeah. Well, hey.
But I like the fact that you only get one, because, you know, imagine there was plenty of those around there.
Oh, yeah. Booby trap your whole base.
Exactly. Yeah, you can only hold the one power up deployable at a time, which is where it should be, where we thought it would be.
Exactly.
So there was also the theater mode where you can record your games and share them with other people. Can you guys explain a little bit about that?
Yes.
Sure. Basically, after every game, you have the option during the 20 seconds in between games to press the back button and save your film by hitting X after that. You can actually only save what I found, a couple of them in the beta. I'm sure in the retail you'll be able to save more. For example, right now I have, I got like 11 or 12 saved films. And after that it wouldn't let me save. But yeah, and they're fairly small. They don't take up much space on your hard drive. When you go back to watch them, it is full on graphical prowess, and, you know, from your view of the games you played. It's pretty neat. I think it's using the it's kind of like how, I don't know if you guys ever played like strategy games, it's kind of how the replays work in that. It's kind of what they did for FPS.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that with you know, showing the whole match all over again.
Yeah.
Different angles.
It doesn't actually save your video, but you can't do angles, at least in the beta. But I think it's not actually rendering the video. I think it's just rendering, like, who shot what, where they were. But it's, right. You know, eventually it's just a recreate. It's, you know, it's a full graphical recreation of your game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one thing I like is that, like, let's say I go to, because now they got a lot of cool features that's implemented to the dashboard, the 360 dashboard. Like,
yeah.
You hit Y and get your friends list, you know, instantaneously. So let's say Fumo Jive's playing in another room. You know, I go to his name, I click his name to send him a message. Now there's a sub menu. Well, not a sub menu. It's added.
Stuff on my profile on the Blade.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, about Halo 3 now. Now it's party details. I believe it's.
There's the file share.
File share. Yeah. Which would allow me to see your, you know, what movie clips you have, and I can either choose to download it or recommend it to a friend, which is pretty cool. You know, I could send it to somebody on my friends list and say, hey, check out Fumo Jive's last game, and they can download it. Now, I don't know if they need Halo 3. I'm assuming they do.
Yeah, I just checked.
For that to work.
I just checked, and the menu doesn't show up unless you're in Halo 3. So mm-hmm. At least in the beta, so we'll see how that works later on, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's really nice how they're implementing the actual game to the friends list, the menu and everything. I mean, it's very convenient and well done.
Definitely.
What do you guys think about the party system being back finally? It felt just like it always did.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Something always felt missing on Xbox Live on the 360 when playing games like this, and finally the party system's back. Even though in matchmaking you are getting matched up with people, if you don't have at least 8 people in your party, it's still nice if you do have 8 to keep on playing with your core group, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and then it's cool how it, like, after every match, it just starts another countdown right away, automatically. You don't have to start a game again. It just has, like, a circular timer countdown from about 20 to get you right into another match right after that. So you can just kind of, like, hang out and get ready for another game.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only 3 maps, and there's only... I mean, so far I've played Oddball, Team Crazy King, Capture the Flag, VIP, and Assault.
Right.
And, of course, you know, Rumble Pit, Slayer, Team Training... So, you know, there's enough variety there to keep everybody, you know, going for, you know, till the beta's done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right after the show, I'll be playing a little more, you know what I mean? But one thing with Capture the Flag, how did you guys like, you know, the new look of the flag and the different tempo? I mean, it's to me, like I said, it was, you know, the tempo was a bit different, like it actually took me, I went and grabbed the flag, right? I got in. I'm like, I got the flag. I hit X, and I just kept walking without the flag, and I died. I'm like, oh, man, I'm a retard.
I did that a few times trying to grab something. And
yeah, because you got to hit the right bumper button now. So it's, I mean.
I didn't even get a look at the flag, though, because I was running around looking at all the little gizmos laying around and.
Yeah. And there's still quite a few things that, you know, I would like to, you know, just go around looking at the maps and looking at where the weapons are and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, High Ground was just so sweet with all the little, like, laptops laying around and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, these super wide ones that were, like, kind of deployed laptops. And they all were making sounds and had all these cool graphics going on them. And there's just tons of little... Yeah. Just little things like that all over the place that just kind of really add to the detail that you would expect from a Halo game. You know, I remember getting into Halo 2 and just all over the place, the attention to detail really impressed me, and how it was all very consistent in matching with the Halo universe to where it's really creating its own mythos going on here. So,
like, I'm gonna tell you when I first
when I first finally got, you know, because I called my wife, you know, I was like, babe, can you please download the demos? And, you know, I get on, and as I'm shooting the guns, you know, the sound of the guns. But not only that, it was the sounds from a distance.
Yeah.
Like, even with the sniper rifle, you shoot it and you hear like a click, like a clack, clack. And at a distance, I heard like gunfire and clips falling on the ground. And I'm like, what's that? And I didn't know there was a turret. And from a distance, the sound is coming from that location. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, even with, you know, the way the grenades land, the perfect example, the plasma grenade. Mm-hmm. Now you hear this like buzz, like right before it blows up, you know. Mm-hmm. And the way it looks, you know, when it goes off, I mean, it even feels different when you throw it. Now it doesn't kind of like float to a direction. Like there's not that curve.
Yeah, it doesn't now arc it
feels,
as much.
Yeah, now it feels like you could just boom, you know. It's,
yeah. Do you guys notice that like, grenades in general, you can throw them much farther now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like you're actually, you know, the super soldier that can throw, you know, like.
Exactly.
Far distance, you know. So, you know, it made sticking people, you know, quite not easy because I was always fairly decent with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the damage from it was pretty cool.
And Witchkin, can you tell us about vetoing and matchmaking, how that works?
Yeah, so basically when you go to set up a match, in the beta, unfortunately, you can't choose the match type or the map. So when you guys are sitting in the lobby, if a match type comes up, let's say like, oh, I don't know, territories on Valhalla, and you guys don't want to play it, you can hit the X button to veto, and if a majority of your lobby and your party vetoes it, you know, it'll change the game type and it'll change the map. So it's kind of a cool feature, you know, so you don't have to, you know, play a game mode in a map you don't really want to play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it doesn't happen too often right now in the beta, and of course in the retail version, none of this it'll all be a moot point, but it's just nice in the beta, you know, if you really don't want to get stuck playing something that you don't want to play, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's something we should probably give it a shot, you know, veto a few matches.
Yeah.
See what comes out of it.
I had one huge question for you guys. So So there's always, you know, in the Halo community, there's always, you know, the side that says Halo 1 was by far the better game because it took more skill, there was less auto-aim, there was less, you know, weapons were more precise or whatever, and there's a community that says Halo 2 was better, it was, you know, it was more, I don't know, it was easier to pick up and play, and the weapons were better. So where do you guys see Halo 3? And you guys are in the Halo community doing this podcast for God knows how long now, 113 episodes deep. What do you guys think so far of the Halo 3 gameplay in comparison to Halo 2 and Halo 1?
Well, between the two, I mean, I had a little more time to play it because, you know, I got out of work a little earlier. And from what I, you know, it's funny you mentioned auto-aim because I didn't see any besides, you know, the rocket launcher. Actually, the rocket launcher didn't auto-aim either. It was the missile launcher. But as far as, like, sniping and stuff, sniping, to me, was a little harder because it kind of felt like Halo 1.
That's where I noticed the auto-aim, the lack of auto-aim was sniping. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it's which is a, you know, to me, it's a welcomed addition simply because, yeah, it's going to take some more skill to actually go out there and no scope and, you know, no more swipe sniping and, you know, cheesy auto aim. So I think it's going to pretty much lean a little more towards Halo 1 where the skill factor is going to separate people in the long run. I mean, Halo 2, I mean, you know, there's some outstanding Halo 2 players out there. You know, and even though with all the auto-aim and everything, they're still incredible. But there were still people that were diehard Halo 1, you know, Halo 1 fans that didn't like Halo 2 for, you know, certain reasons. So I think this is going to bring back, you know, that crowd. And, of course, you know, the Halo 2 people that were used to, you know, swipe sniping and, you know, the plasma pistol, you know, following you around the corner, they're going to be a little disappointed. So
I don't know.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I think
What do you think, Fu?
I think it really addresses all the concerns people had with all the concerns. I sound like freaking all the problems people had with Halo 2 in comparison to Halo 1. It's pretty much like you're saying, where the people had major problems with the significant auto aim that was in Halo 2. It made it to where you hardly had to aim at all. You just had to move the stick a little bit, and it would grab onto, to the enemy in front of you, even if they're flying across your point of view. So there's that, and then there's the starting with a nerfed weapon with the SMG. That was lame because that encouraged a lot of dual wielding, and dual wielding just kind of sucked. It turned out because it made it to where it's pretty much like garden hose FPS. You know, whoever starts spraying first wins. And
yeah,
you know, it's much better in the sense of having a decent starting weapon that you can throw grenades in melee and play it that way, so that you have more options and it makes it a little more interesting fights, even if you have the default weapons. And that's the thing with the assault rifle now. It really is it's an improvement over the SMG as far as like being able to shoot in bursts and be able to hit mid-range fairly well and still be able to shoot, of course, at close range with full auto and do the melees and grenades. So it's a really nice starting with a good weapon and fixing the auto aim and still having lots of other lots of great weapons, lots of great vehicles and options, and no lock-on for the rockets or the plasma pistols, no significant lock-on there. I think really brings it back to its roots, and at the same time improves on the whole formula. So I think Halo 1 fans and Halo 2 fans will be very much impressed with the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah, there was one thing I just realized that's missing weapon-wise from the beta, and that's the pistol.
Ah, sure.
Yeah. Did you guys realize that?
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
That's one huge point of contention is today. Did they bring back the Halo 1 pistol or the Halo 2 pistol? And so far, I don't know. I haven't noticed it on any of the maps. I don't know if you guys have, but yeah, it's not there so far. So I just have to wait for the retail version to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure that was done purposely. I guess they wanted to. Maybe they're not telling us something. Maybe it is a little too powerful, you know. Maybe it needs to be balanced out a bit, or maybe it's too weak.
I think so, the most obvious reason to me seems that they had the Halo 1 pistol with the scope attachment on it, but then the scope didn't work. It's like that didn't make any sense. That I was like, what? When he zoomed in, like on the leaked Microsoft videos, when he zoomed in, it was the binoculars. So a little weird. Binoculars look cooler now, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and what about something we didn't talk about, the spike grenades?
Yeah, those are sweet, man. I mean, you can stick people with them, that you can stick them to walls and the ground, which is nice because, some things stickies wouldn't stick to. But these spike grenades, you can stick them to things, and also they're not as visible as a sticky grenade, like, blaring people.
Yep, you can walk by them and not even realize them.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was cool because I've caught quite a few people with them. And, it doesn't have that much splash damage. But, I mean, like you said, you can kind of hide it, if somebody's chasing you, you can just stick it to the wall and,
You could, yeah, and hang like a 90-degree turn and they come up after you and it does the directional splash of nails at them.
That's pretty awesome. And the other thing, the Mongoose, did you get a chance to drive it at all, guys?
Yeah, it was cool. Witch King, why don't you tell us about that, man?
The Mongoose, pretty much, it's a mini version of the Warthog, I'd say, minus the turret. It's faster than the Warthog, it's a little more nimble around the corners than the Warthog. It's just a ATV-type vehicle that'll transport you and a buddy across the map, or whatever you need. It was something that we used a lot in Oddball, and bomb to try and plant.
Yeah,
it was fun, but it was kind of a weak vehicle, as you'd expect for just an ATV. So if you got hit, you were done pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But But it was a nice little. I can totally see it being, you know, a nice little addition. You know, the getaway car, so to speak, that's faster and more nimble than the Warthog was for games like One Flag CTF and stuff like that. I don't know. What would you guys think?
I thought it was definitely the thing is that it's more different from the Ghost than I thought it would be, because it's first of all, it has a really cool sound when you start it up and when you run it. It definitely sounds more like a vehicle in the sense that we're used to, like an internal combustion, you know, vehicle. And also, one of the things I really noticed was that if you're coming right at someone, it's really easy for them to fire at your head while you're coming at them, as opposed to the Ghost, where you got that whole thing, you know, you only got the tip of your head showing. Well, on this, you have like a visor slot for the, you know, like the front of a visor, like in a motorcycle, but there's no visor in it. So they can just shoot right through you. And if they got a sniper rifle, I got sniped right off of it at going right towards someone.
Yep. I think I might have sniped you because I caught two guys. One, the bomb carrier was in the back. I sniped the driver.
That was
coming
me.
Right at me.
Thanks a lot, JVB.
I'm lead.
Yeah, but it was cool though. You could still splatter people and such. It was actually slower than I thought it would be too. I mean, having driven the Ghost all over the place and used the boost and stuff, it doesn't go nearly that fast. But it is good, you know, to like, you know, have someone hop on the back, and then when you're driving and someone hops on the back of it kind of jumps down a little bit. Yeah, it's like sloops down. Yeah, it goes down a little bit to where you can notice if someone's on the back, even if you don't actually get to see that person by moving your controller. So, which is kind of cool.
Now, the mystery of the Ghost. A lot of people were saying that the Ghost looked wider, and you know that it was the Brute Ghost.
I didn't notice anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't notice anything different either.
Yeah. It looked different when it was damaged. Mm-hmm. The damage model is different. It was good in the other one. It's good now. It's just, I think, a little more detail and then just change the graphics. I wouldn't say the graphics necessarily are better except for the level of detail. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely cool looking. It seems to take more. I don't know if I had trouble blowing it up altogether. You know, like destroying it?
It seems to go down a lot easier now, especially the driver, because, oh, man, I used to get sick and tired of, you know, on burial mounds, the guy on the Ghost just, you know, having his way with everybody, and we're all shooting at him, and he's just, you know, singing Mary Poppins songs while he's splattering us.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
definitely. The Mongoose is really cool, though. It's definitely a cool addition. So I was, you know, Valhalla, how they have two of them, you know, hooked up right on the side of the base there, so you can just instead of taking the man cannon and having to, you know, make yourself vulnerable going way up in the air and then them hearing it going off, you can just hop into one of those things, one of the Mongoose, and cruise across the board of Valhalla. Another thing that's cool about Valhalla,
Mongoose.
Is that you can hit this? There's a sweet like rock outcropping in the middle of towards the middle of Valhalla, where you can just rush up and then there's like this huge ramp where you can just take off of it and just like, you know, get this huge air and hope you don't land upside down.
Yep. Yeah. Or you land right on the water, which slows you down.
Yeah. Exactly. It was cool though because you're just like
Valhalla right now.
What's that?
You're playing Valhalla?
Yeah, I'm playing Valhalla right now. I'm playing VIP. I couldn't wait anymore.
No wonder you're so quiet, man.
I know, man. Leveling up with all this.
I can't wait. I can't hold it off. I gotta play.
Hey, I'm a corporal. If I don't keep playing all night by tomorrow, you know, corporal's gonna be the new recruit, you know?
So speaking of which, there's the ranks now that are different than the numeric ranks that we had before from 0 to 50. So you have... There's the skill level, right? The matching, they like match you up with a skill level, but then there's the level. Rank that's the basically the experience, right?
Yeah, which is pretty neat because it'll tell you, you know, searching for levels, it's 1 through 11. I believe that's like matching you know your skill level.
Right.
But now, I think I'm a 1 because we haven't played many matchmaking games.
Everything has been, you know, casual. Is it called casual?
Not casual. There's team training. It's all matchmaking, but it's.
Yeah, there's matchmaking. There's. No, I'm talking about the name of the game types.
Oh yeah, well you know, are you talking about like the VIP assault, all that kind of stuff?
No, like you can, instead of calling it customs, they call it something else.
Oh man, I don't know. I didn't even get to go to that menu because I didn't create my own party. I just joined someone else's party. But I'll definitely check that out a little bit later on. But yeah, some very cool stuff.
So, I mean,
they also have that the Halo 3 stats online, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is pretty, you know, pretty much the same as Halo 2, but now when you go to a specific game to preview it, you can click your mouse over an individual name, and it'll give you an expanded, a bigger box will pop up, and it will show you what weapon, you know, weapon of destruction, which weapon they had the most kills with, or the most success, whichever, and it'll, you know, show you their medals, who they killed the most. So it pretty much gives you the same stats you had in Halo 2.
Hmm.
But now it's, you know, it's done, you know, in a more user-friendly way, I believe. I mean, they don't allow you to view the maps like they did in Halo 2. That's, you know, obviously going to come with the full retail version.
Of course. Yeah.
And I heard that's supposed to be 3D or something like that. I don't know if...
Oh, that'd be nice. Wow.
I don't know. Don't hold me to that, but I did hear somewhere that...
JVB said it was going to be 3D.
I know, right?
Heck, I'm sorry.
JVB Apotacular claims 3D maps will be visible.
You heard it here first. Yeah, so I guess that's pretty much all we're going to cover, right? On it so far.
Yes. Before we... wrap it up. As far as the, I guess, integrity of the past two Halo franchises, well, not franchises, titles, do you get the same feel from the last two? Like, do you believe that this is going to continue to, will expand on what we've all grown to, you know, expect from the previous two Halo games, like the atmosphere and the mood?
Yeah.
Or do you think it kind of changed towards more of a, you know, more tactical, more arcadey? I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, I felt like more towards, you know, I was leaning more towards Halo 1.
Yeah.
With the way, you know, everything felt. But, you know, obviously everything looks prettier, more animation. Even reloading, you know, you could tell the difference.
Yeah. I think it just, you know, like I was saying, it took all the good stuff from Halo 1 and it incorporated it into all the good stuff with Halo 2. You know, one of the things that was bad about Halo 1 is that when you zoom in with a weapon and if someone shoots you, it doesn't zoom you out. I thought that was really bad because, you know, then you can pretty much just stay zoomed in and it's a long zoom game, which is weird. Yeah. But, you know, so I'm glad they didn't carry that over, obviously. But, you know, there's obviously the lack of capabilities that you had in Halo 2. They're not in Halo 1, you know, but then they were carried over and then expanded upon with Halo 3. So, you know, I think it definitely feels like a Halo game. I think there's a few key things that to me feel very Halo. First of all, you know, attention to detail around the whole thing with the soundtrack going on in the background, the sense of weapons, all the graphics going on, and the detail of the map. And another thing is the speed at which you walk. It's when people first played Halo, they were like, faster, wow, you right? walk really slow, you know? I don't know. For me, it felt about the same pace. It might be a tad bit faster, but it's definitely the Halo feel where you're not like flying through the map like in Doom or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's that, and then
that way.
The other thing was that once you spawn, you have within a fairly short amount of time, you can expect to find a hostile encounter. to where you don't have to search very hard to, you know, to get into a fight in Halo, which is very cool, the way it should be. You know, you don't have to go all over the map looking for something or have some really slow-paced tactical situation. It is tactical, but it's in a sense where it's a good balance between, you know, an Unreal Tournament kind of crazy fast pace and a slower, more more thinking kind of Rainbow Six kind of thing. So
it's nice. Yeah, it's done where the fighting is eventually going to happen. There's no Ghost Recon moments where, you know, you stay in one side of the map, and I'm going to stay in one side of the map, hopefully somebody does something. Yeah. But allow me to see him.
And then you crawl across the map slowly, and after 20 minutes of getting across the map, you get sniped from nowhere.
Yeah, right, and you got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
No, this, you know, it's, like you said, a lot of action going on, but it's not done in over-exaggerated speed.
Right. No fatalities.
Cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome. Wrapping it up here, send in your comments to start to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the custom and call-in show.
Nice. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for being on, dude.
Got it, brother.
Witch King in the house from 1UP.com. Hey, where can we find your blog on there?
I'm not from 1UP.
Oh, I'm IGN. 1UP. We're not going with that.
he meant WordUP.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Witch King from Yahoo.com, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. This is Witch King from Uncle Gamer. No, I'm just kidding.
So how can they find your stuff on there on IGN?
You can find me on Xbox.com or on the IGN Insider boards. I'm WishKing9 on Xbox.com and I'm SGD316 on IGN. Mm-hmm. Always looking to hear from people.
Exactly.
Got any comments, got any concerns, want to send me hate mail, hate PMs, go ahead.
Exactly. And the perfect example of someone just going out there stating his opinion on at the website and the forums and making a difference with their, you know, insight and, you know, participation, and it's paid off. He's an MVP now and, you know, well respected in the community. So, hey, it doesn't take, you know, making a podcast or, you know, having a website of your own to, you know, get recognition and some respect. So, you know, good work, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man. And before we forget, be sure to check out podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out the forums. There's a lot of buzz going on about Halo 3, Halo 2 Vista, and the new Halo 2 maps and other stuff. Speaking of which, I believe they already reset the Halo 2 rankings, right?
They did. I played some matchmaking the other day. It's nice. I didn't have to deal with any cheaters, although, you know, at level 1 in matchmaking, you have a mix of people that are actually level 1 and people that are, you know, starting again from level 1. So it's a little hard to break that barrier sometimes and get past it, but, you know, working up
it.
It's cool, though. Yeah, so hey, thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, comes in every month, or subscribe to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you.
Absolutely not. And make sure you check out our brothers from another mother from the GamerCast Network at GamerCastNetwork.com. Make sure you go and check out Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer Radio, and the guys from Video Game Show.
Yeah.
And also, before we leave, I want to thank the guys from Bungie.net for giving us Podtacular members invitations to the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah. Thank you, Bungie.
It definitely made a lot of the guys, you know, very happy, and it made them feel like, you know, all their hard work, all their dedication to making this community grow, that it wasn't for naught. It just showed that Bungie, you know, actually acknowledges them and appreciated them. So, big thanks to KP and Doubtpex for making it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely. Not everybody's out there enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. And if you're not in yet, hang in there. It's just a few more days. Not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the 16th, those who own Crackdown, you know, you'll have a little catching up to do, but you can also enjoy the phenomenon that is Halo 3 Beta.
It's a phenomenon. It's a phenom.
Phenom.
Well, until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I am JBB.
And which Keenan over here. Sorry, I just noticed that at the end of a Carnage report, it'll tell you at the end of the game who the MVP was of the game.
Oh, yeah, cool. I forgot to mention that.
So,
yeah,
that's nice. One last tidbit for me before I go.
Yeah, really?
I forgot about that. Yeah. You know, it tells you like the most, in other words, who did the best during that round. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll keep on fragging trucks. Right there.
Keep on fragging plasma grenades. Fruit spike grenades.
Yeah.
Meatloaf sandwiches.
Keep on fragging weenuses. Weenie.
Weenie. Sissus.
Weenie
sissus. Sissus.
There's only one thing left to say.
GamerCast Network.com